You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
What is up? It's Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, alongside the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, Wall Street, Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. Oh, man.
You're going to make Fantasy Sports great again?
Greg? Oh, my. It's already great. It's already great. This is a great tweet. Oh, man. He's on fire this morning. We're going to be on fire this morning because it's Tout Wars Day. It is Tout Wars Day for our main man, the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson.
That's today?
That's today.
I think after the show, you should get a 42 tattoo.
It's not a bad idea. Yeah, you know, last year, obviously, Tout Wars, I broke the color barrier, came in with a fourth place finish, and now this year, look to take it down. See, this is the full disclosure. This is the Tout Wars thing. I'm winning this thing, this league, right? After I win it, I'm out. It's over. I'm winning it, and I'm done. I'm walking away.
You will have defeated 14 other out-of-shape old white
men. And then I'm walking away. Full disclosure. When I win the league this year, it's it. I'm over. I'm past it. And then I do it for the up and for the fantasy analysts coming behind me. I blaze this trail.
You are a trailblazer.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's next year I will be the subject on Black History Month.
Of yourself.
Of myself. Yeah.
I'm a Draymond Green.
Yeah. Yes. Very similar attributes. How y'all doing this morning?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well, man. A lot of baseball to talk about today because it is Tout Wars Day.
All right, so
we're talking about some baseball.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
All right, because I want to help you. I want to make sure you know what you're doing tonight. Not that I would ever question you, but
yeah, I just said that turn, that 15. I got the 15th pick, so that 1-2 turn is going to set the tone for what the rest of the draft is going to look like.
Are you thinking pitcher hitter, get that ace if it's there? You know, one of the big four.
I definitely want to come out the first four rounds with at least one pitcher. At least.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Did anybody check out the Bachelor finale last night?
No, but I saw on Twitter it was a major train wreck.
So I was watching a much better show in professional wrestling. And
you weren't watching Nuremberg?
I watched it earlier in the day. I watched that live from here. I ran upstairs. But then so I was watching that, and Judy was watching it. Like, we're skipping commercials. We're not doing the commercial thing. So we had dinner a little bit late. I watched Raw, and then by the time I was done with Raw, she was up to the last hour of The Bachelor. I go, this is perfect, because I was on Twitter. I was like, people are going crazy about this. Like, what the hell is happening? And I watched, and it was wild, Corey. It was wild what happened. It was
really
the story that people are talking about this morning.
Really? So y'all got to fill me in on this. Because, like I always say, a dating game show like that, if I was ever the person that was like doing the dating, it would be very easy to figure out who's going to win.
When are we getting Jake Sealy on The Bachelor?
Well, that's not a bad idea.
You should apply.
That's not a bad idea.
You should apply. All right, so after the break, I'm going to
tell you. None of those people.
That's for sure. I will tell you exactly what happened on The Bachelor.
I'm looking forward to
this. It's wild, because I think you're going to be interested in it.
Yeah.
I think you're going to be interested in it. All right, we'll talk about that. We got a lot of baseball to get to, some football news as well. It looks like Sammy Watkins will not be tagged, which I think is super interesting.
As I said.
As you said, for sure, not many months ago. We'll talk about some football, some baseball, and The Bachelor. When we come back, FST on FNTSY.
The victories begin in January. The Fantasy Sports Writers Association named Roto Experts winners of two prime fantasy baseball awards. Tim McCullough and Scott Angle joined champion fantasy ranker Jake Sealy on the mountaintop, and now their triumphs are yours with the RotoExperts.com 2018 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package. A full squad of high-profile winners such as Michael Florio and Joe Galina, they're here to help you take it all. Enter code FNTSY at checkout and join the Exclusive Edge Winners Club at RotoExperts.com.
So a lot to get to on the program today, obviously. And perhaps no more so, more important for your Tout Wars than this Bachelor recap here.
Yeah, no, that is the story.
The story people are talking about today.
Let's hear about
it. Isn't that what we're supposed to do?
That's what we're supposed to do.
All right. So, crazy. I got to understand the score of this Bachelor Fantasy League because it's crazy what happened last night. So, all right. Last night was the finale. All right.
Of The Bachelor.
Of The Bachelor.
All right.
You're down to two girls.
Mm-hmm.
This is season one.
Season 77. I don't know.
It's been a while.
I don't know.
Oh, man.
It's been a lot of seasons of this show.
It has.
So, you're down to the final choice. It's between this girl, Becca, and this girl, Lauren.
Who Becca and chosen? Lauren.
Neither of them, to be honest with you. My favorite girl was CN. She was eliminated a while back.
All right.
Yeah, she was fantastic.
Becca and Lauren.
Yes, Becca and Lauren.
Good looking girls?
They're fine. They're nothing.
Yeah.
Whatever. CN was the one that's the one you should look up.
All right, cool.
I'm just being honest with you.
I'm doing research for the show.
I'm keeping it 100.
Thanks for keeping it a puck with me. Becca and Lauren.
So Becca and Lauren. Whatever. Like I said, I didn't watch the first 2 hours because, like, whatever. You'll go on a date with one, you go for 1 hour, you go on a date with the other hour, and then you make a decision, whatever. So ultimately, this dude, and it's been, according to from what I've read and heard, very boring season. Like, this guy is awful. No personality.
Whatever.
Very weird. It's just, like, weird. He's just a weird dude.
Didn't an ex-boyfriend show up on this show?
Yeah, the producers got this dude to fly to Peru and show up.
Peru? No place.
I'm sure he was very interested in doing that, right? So, whatever. So, ultimately, he sends Lauren home, says, I can't see you as my wife right now, and chooses Becca.
All right, Becca's the winner. Story's over.
Chat wars. Okay.
Keep it going.
I will. So, chooses Becca. Great. Proposes. You see whatever.
Oh, they get married at the end?
No, he proposes because some ring sponsor sponsors it. It's a big... you see the box, which is the name of the ring sponsor.
Yeah.
And it's a whole big thing. And evidently, Judy told me that you have to be married for X amount of time in order to keep the ring.
Okay.
It's like a contract that you sign. Fine. Because it's very expensive and a very big diamond in the whole deal. Okay. So he proposes. Whatever. So then they come back. It's like the top of the last... it's a three-hour marathon last night.
Oh, boy.
The top of the 10 o'clock hour. And they go back to the studio. And a live studio audience for the finale.
Yay!
And Chris Harrison goes... And you thought that was it. Well, it wasn't. And it was all dramatic.
Yeah.
And they go back. Evidently, they were like... They're hanging out and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And they were meeting up in L.A. And, of course, the cameras are still rolling. And they're meeting up in L.A. And a meetup. And life's been... according to the girl, life's been fantastic. Like, we're in love, blah, blah, blah. And Ari, the dude, is just like... I might have made a mistake.
Oh, right there. Right here on
the line. And this is him. This is him just kind of talking one-on-one to the camera. I made a mistake. And he's thinking, what am I going to do? And he's like, you know what? I think I want Lauren.
Wow. See, you can't do that.
So, whatever.
Buyer's remorse.
I've done it. So you can't do it.
So it's a whole one-on-one. They go back to the studio, and it's just the host, Chris Harrison. And he's just like, well, we're going to show you now. We decided it would be best if we didn't edit anything.
Yeah.
You'll see the other cameras in the background and whatnot. It's just uncut, unedited. When they are back in L.A., the two of them, up with cameras, one split screen, one on him and one on her the all time.
Yeah.
So he walks into this house, and she runs into his arms. I'm so happy to see you, blah, blah, blah. She goes, oh, he goes, oh, look at your new tattoo, blah, blah, blah. We need to sit. And she's like, you're scaring me. And he's like, we need to talk. All right, like, you're scaring me. What's up?
Yeah.
And he basically is like, I have feelings for Lauren more than you, and I'm going to go be with her.
Wow.
And she was just like, are you effing kidding me?
Did she,
like,
start crying or something?
And she, like, handles it, like, really well.
Yeah.
Like, great. Like, get the F out of here then.
Yeah.
Like, goodbye.
Yeah, I'm out. See you.
Right. Like,
take the ring, chump.
Right.
Yeah.
She handles it perfectly, doesn't cry. He walks out. And it was, like, really cool. Like, she handled it as well as possibly could have been done. So then... she walks, like, into the bathroom, so the cameras can't have her. And ABC then has the camera linger outside the bathroom so you can hear her hysterically cry, which I'm like, come on.
That's the poor look.
Poor look. Because, like, she went to the bathroom so the cameras wouldn't see her cry, and I give her a lot of credit for that, to do everything the way she was doing it. Cameras... and the camera just lingered outside the bathroom.
Yeah.
He walks out, and you know the producers are like, all right, get back in there. Because she said, get out. He's like, all right, I'm leaving. She's like, okay, good, please go by. Yeah. And he stands outside the house, and he's just standing there. And then the camera goes black for a moment, then it turns back on. And guess who? Well, guess what? He goes right back in. And you're like, the producers sent him right back in. And he goes back in, and he's like, can we talk? And she's like, what do you want to talk about?
To talk about now,
you chose the other girl. Like, why are you talking to me? And you know the producer's like, just stay there. Just stay there. Because maybe it's a cynical view from us because we kind of know how TV works in a little bit of a way. And you know they send it back in there to talk. And she's just like, I don't know what... And the typical response from her at this point is, I don't know what I did wrong. Like, what did I do? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, nothing. I just have feelings for this girl. He's like, but you told me that, like, you couldn't see yourself marrying her.
Like, yeah, like, what? This will just happen. Like, we'll tell you, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah. What has changed?
We've been doing this for 3-4 months now. What's that? What's going on?
Right. I don't know.
He didn't deflower her, though.
Well, he did not deflower her, but they did go to the fantasy suite together in a previous episode.
Deflower?
Yes.
What does that mean?
I feel like you understand.
Okay. No, I didn't know that. I didn't know that was called deflowering.
For the first time.
Well, we're trying to.
The first time.
The first time is called deflowering.
Yes.
I'm sure it wasn't her first time.
No.
Well, we don't know.
Well, what? So it was interesting.
Right.
There were virgins on the show.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
And it wasn't even the Tim Tebow Bachelor.
No. So whatever, I found out this morning that Lauren, the girl that he went up going to, has like been engaged like 2 other times.
Oh, boy.
Not a virgin.
Yeah, no. She's been deflowered.
Deflowered, dog.
So then the last 2 minutes of the show was Becca, the girl that got dumped, live in studio. Like, have you spoken to him? Have you saw him? Have you talked to him? And she's like, no.
Right.
And he's like, well, do you have anything to say to him? She's like, listen, I understand that, like, tomorrow is like the after show, basically.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to see him and Lauren again. Like, I get it. And we'll see how that goes.
So, wow, that went down
crazy. I
wonder
how much Becky's getting to be on that after show.
Well, here's what I think. I don't know how much Becca's going to get to then be the Bachelorette. Right? Like, that's clearly...
Oh, yeah.
That's clearly where
that
this
makes
is
sense
heading.
Right there. That makes, like, a lot of sense.
It basically was like, you show up to this after show, we'll make you the Bachelorette.
Yeah, okay.
That's a little give and take there. And gotcha. So I think that's where this is headed. It all comes down. They'll see each other tonight for the after show. But I have to ask, if you're now Lauren, Corey, are you like, yeah, that's cool, I'll take you back?
Now, see, he ran a risky game.
Yeah.
Because he played her on television. You know what I'm saying? Then he went back. She could have been like, nah, you ain't coming back over here.
Right.
And then you end up with no woman. You know what I'm saying?
She could be like, okay, now he's under my thumb, you know.
Well, yeah. Now I get the ring.
And now she has the leverage, too. You know what I'm saying?
It's true.
So, you know, it's interesting stuff right there.
So,
that
was
last night. Do you know the amount of time you have to be married to keep that ring?
I don't know.
I'd like to know that. That could be a profitable position.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you just like check mark off the day. Have you been calendar up? X. Yeah. So that was the big story last night on the Twitterverse. Was the Bachelor finale.
Shout out to the Twitterverse. Shout out to the Bachelor. I'm glad the young lady worked it out and everything went good. And I hope Becca and Lauren, you know, I'm glad for both of them. And Ari, he needs to do a better job. You just can't be willy-nilly hurting people's feelings like that. That's a poor look, Ari.
Live TV was pretty lit yesterday, I guess.
Oh, what else happened?
Live TV was incredible yesterday. So the other thing that happened yesterday is earlier in the day. Robert Mueller, the special prosecutor.
That's everybody's special prosecutor.
Right.
NFL indeed. Uses him, too.
Everybody uses Mueller. So he subpoenaed...
America's special prosecutor.
So he subpoenaed a bunch of people recently.
Yeah.
And they have to, like, Friday to respond to the grand jury. So this one dude who, like, Trump fired, like, immediately. He had him, and then he fired him within a month. He basically called in to, like, NBC first, and was like, I'm not cooperating. And they're like, what? Like, he's like, they want me to take, like, 30 hours to, like, find emails. Like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And then they're like, why are you calling us?
Yeah.
So then he goes from NBC, he calls a CNN show, and they're just like, what? And, like, CNN begs him, like, you got to stay on for Jake Tapper. We need you on with Jake Tapper. So then at 4 o'clock, he's like, oh, Jake, man, love your show. So happy to be on. It's my first time. He goes, has anyone been like me and ever denied the special prosecutor? And Jake Tapper's like, I don't think so. No. He's like, so I'd be the first one then. He's like, I guess, sure. And he's just like, why are you doing this? He's like, do they have something? Do you think they have something with President Trump? He goes, maybe, I guess. He's like, they're going after Roger Stone. He's a good guy. Carter Page is this D-bag. And Corey Lewandowski, we were trying to get him fired. I'm like, what is happening?
Dude, just start spazzing out on live TV.
Hope Hicks and Corey Lewandowski were having an affair.
Well, they were. That's like a thing that's known. But
he was throwing that out to you know.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So then he goes to Jake Tapper. He goes, hey, Jake, if you were me, would you, like, listen to the special prosecutor? And Tapper's like, well, I don't want to go to jail. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably.
Good job.
I was just
well
listening to the special prosecutor.
Glamour's
he said, oh, man,
good.
Thanks for having me. I'd love to be back. He's like, man, you want to come back from jail?
No, but when Aaron Burnett asked him.
I didn't see the Aaron Burnett.
Oh, you didn't see that?
He was back at Aaron Burnett.
He was live in studio. She asked him.
I didn't see that.
Have you been drinking? I smell alcohol in your
breath. Oh, I didn't see that. Oh, that's crazy. All right, we'll be back. We'll talk about the Cincinnati Reds, the team of day, live on YouTube when we come back. That's what I do.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Touch this.
Next Monday, catch the DKMS 2018 March Madness Special. March 12th, 4 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and simulcast on our YouTube channel, hosted by Craig Carton. Get the edge on filling out your bracket with analysis from Mike Blewett, Brad Evans, and me. And if you're looking to make some money,
ow.
Can't touch this.
Can't touch this.
Dave Morenci and Blackjack Fletcher will line your pockets. The broadcast will be simulcast, of course, on the radio, as I mentioned, and of course, on our YouTube channel. It's the DKMS 2018 March Madness Special. Monday, March 12th, 4 p.m. Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Shout out to Gabe Morenci. Gabe be on there giving the gambling advice for y'all on the March Madness show. I'm Gabe Morenci.
Pretty much how it sounds.
He know what he doing, though. I give him his props. Shout out to Gabe. Yeah, they got people listening to Red Heat and Rage. Him and Cam on Game Time Decisions, the radio version. They do good numbers. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to them. Shout out to Gabe. You know what I mean? He not talking about Tout Wars. He's not.
No, he's not. But it is a very fun
Did
show.
Did he bet on The Bachelor?
Who, Gabe? No, they wouldn't put Gabe on The Bachelor.
No, bet on The Bachelor.
He would. I've got to see Gabe bet on The Bachelor. Yeah.
Gabe seems
I thought
to
you were talking about him being The Bachelor.
No. Like.
Gabe seems to be willing to bet on pretty much anything.
You line up two roaches right here.
We paint one red.
I got the red one.
Canada.
Yeah. Shout out to Gabe. He probably sleeping right now.
Yes, he should be.
Exactly.
Okay. So, now.
What do we got?
Let's talk about the Cincinnati Reds.
I know.
All right. Did you see that catch Billy Hamilton made yesterday?
Oh, he made a good catch in the outfield?
Oh, for Shohei Ohtani.
Okay, cool. Shohei hit a bomb or something?
Yeah, right in the gap. And
Billy ran it down?
Billy ran it down with a great catch.
Mm. See, that's the Ohtani hitting bombs in spring training.
That's cool. Caught, but.
At least you know he can
spend Oh, that's the one thing about Billy Hamilton that, you know, I know he doesn't. He hit for average and stuff, but as long as he's.
Excellent defender.
He's an excellent defender. I mean, I don't know how San Francisco didn't try to put him in their center field.
Yeah.
That would really help that team. And, you know, he's going to play as long as he's healthy. Just on defense alone, but so to speak.
So, other than Billy Hamilton and Joey Votto and Luis Castillo, who we talk about ad nauseum, right? Like, these are the three. When you think of the Reds, these are the three guys you think of, right? Like,
Raciel.
Raciel Iglesias, of course.
Yes, Raciel Iglesias.
Yes, those are the guys you think of when it comes to the closer position. When it comes to the Reds in general.
Oh, I would say when it comes to closers, you know who I think about. Shout out to Bensonhurst.
JV closer.
That's not where I thought you were going.
Where you thought I was going?
I thought you were going with
Genmar. That's my guy too. But JV closer Ventura in the fantasy pit of misery right now. When you talk closers, immediately I go to Bensonhurst.
That's wonderful.
Yep. So they got Billy Hamilton.
Right.
They got Raciel Iglesias.
Right.
They got Luis Castillo.
Right.
They
Joey
got
Votto.
Joey Votto.
And that was like, those are the four dudes that you think of.
They don't, Jay Bruce is the Met.
No, he's a Met
now.
Yeah.
Okay, no more Jay Bruce.
No Adam Dunn either.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, they got Adam Eaton, right?
No.
No, he's on the
Nationals.
He's on the Curly W's.
He's
coming back.
He's on Team Wegman.
Severe injury.
He's on Team Wegman.
All right, cool.
All right, so.
Who's at second base for them?
That's, so I'm glad you asked, because. last year at this time, we sat here a lot, Corey, and we talked about Jose Peraza, and
we talked about Eugenio Suarez.
Remember
we had to pronounce it right
and
everything.
We had to pronounce that right.
Eugenio.
Exactly. And now we sit here a year later, and no one's talking about those two guys anymore. And I want to be like, should we know who those guys are still? Like, should we consider Jose Peraza? Should we consider Eugenio Suarez? Matt, how come in 2018 we're not talking about those two guys anymore?
I mean, look, Suarez is known now. He's, you know, he had a good season last year. He's somebody you can take later on in drafts. Plays in a good park. The thing is, at what point does their top prospect come up? And they got him playing all over.
That's Nick Senzel.
Nick Senzel. He's a third baseman, playing some shortstop in the spring. Peraza, I'm just not a Peraza guy. I mean, if he's going to get the at-bats, he should steal the bases. He did better in the second half. He's just somebody I just don't seem to ever draft. Pretty much last year, I kind of stayed away, and I'm not going back this year.
So here's the thing. Let me start with Eugenio Suarez here for a moment, right? So, Corey, last year in 2016, dude hit 21 homers, had 11 steals, batted .248. Everyone's like, oh, we kind of like this guy in 2017, remember?
Eugenio.
Right, last year. We had the conversation.
All right.
So then year late, so in 2017, what does he do? Home runs go up from 21 to 26. Runs go up. RBIs go up. Stolen bases go down. But the average goes up 12 points. OBP goes way up. You care about that in Tat Wars. OBP goes way up 50 points. And you're like, why are people lower on this guy than they were? I don't get it.
Well, he's much better than OBP.
He's not the flavor of the month no more. You feel
but
what
that's
I'm saying?
It's not fair.
It's not fair, but Greg, life's not fair. You know that. You know what I'm saying? He's not the flavor of the month no more. So he came out, lived up to expectations, like
did,
you said.
Yeah, he did it.
Numbers went up across the board. The steals went down, but we discussed yesterday, stolen bases is like a thing in the past now.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
I watched OT.
Yeah, so I thought I did a good job. I think we all did a good job. So now, you know, I'm a me guy. So now, here's the thing with Eugenio Suarez. Still striking out 23% of the time. We don't like that, right? So that's one thing. If he can improve on that, maybe he get the batting average a little bit higher. Like you said, he's good for OBP anyway. So where's Suarez ADP, Matt?
I got to think he's...
I have it. So over the last week, Eugenio Suarez...
He did improve the walk rate, though. He did a nice job on that.
According to the NFBC, Eugenio Suarez ADP currently is 185.
See, where he's going, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah!
Look, I don't have a problem with it.
See, it's second busy corner, a middle guy. For
third, he's third baseman.
I'm just really hopeful I'm having I have my third baseman by then. And I don't hate on the guy. I think he's, you know, around a 250, 260 hitter, 20 home runs.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
Fine.
Will he return value?
185 is the current price.
In a 15-teamer, that'd be what? We're talking about the 13th round. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah.
But,
Matt, you don't seem excited about Eugenio Suarez.
Really,
you
know, nothing.
He doesn't do it for you, does he?
He just doesn't.
All right, so let me go to his teammate then. Let me go to Jose Peraza. So Jose Peraza, 2016, had just three home runs, but he had 21 steals. And you drafted the dude, batted .324, and you're like, okay, I'm going to need a good average. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to do this thing late. He came up in 2016, had an awesome second half. When we put it all together in a full season, he was going to be great. That was the mindset coming in 2017. He played basically a full season. The steals only went up two. The average dropped precipitously as the BABIP dropped. He doesn't really strike out, which is good, but he doesn't really walk either. In fact, he doesn't really do anything outside of steal.
No.
The mantra before... really last year, Corey, was you could always find these steals late, right? You could always find the stolen base guys late, and that was Jose Peraza. Problem is, that's all he could do. As I look at the numbers, Matt, to me, the guy that Nick Senzel is going to come up and replace is probably Jose Peraza, not Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah, I mean, the question would then be, was Scooter Jeanette's season last year real? Because they could put Peraza at second if they want to do that. Right now, the outfield's crowded. You got to think somehow, some way, maybe Billy Hamilton finds his way onto a contending team at some point this season, and they open up some of that. I mean, I can't see Scooter Jeanette doing what he did last year. I'm not saying he can't be a guy for them, but...
And at least it was a Jose Peraza clip.
Yeah, but look, look, Peraza's going to steal 20 bases if he gets the at-bats, and if I'm remembering right, he did get better in that second half. It was the first half, and he cost you last year. I mean, last year you were paying in the single-digit rounds to get Jose Peraza, And look, at the end, you know, when it was all said and done, he stole you like 20-something bases, but he batted about under 260.
And then there was last year's Joey Gallo, Corey. And that was Adam Duvall, right? It was a dude that was going to have a low average.
Adam on my team.
But going to hit a ton of home runs. And what did he do? He played 157 games, batted 250, hit 31 home runs. And you're like, okay, that's pretty much what I signed up for.
I was criticized when I made that pick in Tout Wars last year.
Right.
And ended up paying out. He was a
played every day.
He was a big part of the reason why I finished ahead of Adam Ronis.
In Tout Wars, he's a better pick.
Why is that?
Because you're getting the OB.
The OB is terrible.
Is it terrible?
300.
Okay. Then I'm wrong. But I like Scott Schebler better anyway.
You like players? Scott Schebler? Who is Scott Schebler?
Scott Schebler, basically, he hit about 30 home runs too last year.
Okay.
He's basically like Duvall. He batted for less of an average.
Okay.
But I think Scotty Schebs batted 233, but hit the same amount of home runs as Massa.
I think he has a higher ceiling. I think, you know, the guy who's going to get in there somehow, some way, is Jesse Winker. And as long as Hamilton's on the team, who takes more of the hit? Is it Duvall or is it Schebler?
Assuming Winker starts in one of the outfielder positions, is it Schebler? Is it Adam Dunn? Adam Dunn. Is it Adam Duvall?
I do want to give props to Jesse Winker because I didn't think I thought a couple of years ago he was an interesting prospect. And then, like, the power never kind of developed in the minors. But he came up last year, and he proved to be a much better player than I was expecting.
Yeah, he did. Now, the question will be, which one of these guys loses playing time? Only three spots in the outfield, two big guys. For whatever it's worth, your boys at Roster Resource say Adam Duvall is headed to the bench. Scotty Schebs and Jesse Winker are your starters in the outfield.
I would. That's the way I would think. Like I said, I think there's more upside with Schebler. I just, like, you know, for me, I've been taking Schebler, like, once the reserve rounds start, like that round 24 or something like that. Like a Duvall, even if he hits 30 homers and bats, you know, 250, that's not that exciting.
But it's better than Schebler.
I understand. Well, I'm saying Schebler, Duvall, that type of a player is what I mean.
Gotcha.
You're hoping, if you're going to bat 250, you want, like, 40 homers.
Okay. Now, are there any pitchers outside of Luis Castillo and Rossell Iglesias, are there other pitchers on this staff that you're interested in?
I mean, Brendan Finnegan was a guy that, you know, always had, like, intrigue, but I don't think he can stay healthy. I think maybe at some point he's got to go to the bullpen. Tyler LaMalle, I don't know if I'm saying
Tyler.
That. He's a guy to look at. He gets a rotation spot. The guy from last year, your boy,
Amir Garrett,
is throwing gas.
Our guy.
In the spring. He struck out like
he's been great.
He's been ridiculous. I forget what it was. He's got like 7 strikeouts and like facing like 12 batters or something. I don't know. It was really impressive. I can't remember off the top of my head right now.
Yeah, so he's been very, very good. Also at the catcher position, don't quit on Tucker Barnhart.
Yeah, Tucker Barnhart's a second catcher that won't hurt
you. Yeah, Tucker Barnhart, absolutely a catcher that won't hurt you. When we come back here on the program, we'll hit some other baseball notes. Stick around. More of FST on FNTSY when we return.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created 3 others. That's 4 people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Check out Fantrax.com where you can create the ultimate dynasty keeper or redraft fantasy league using Fantrax's free commissioner product. Find out how it feels to the deepest player pool, multi-team trades, plus player salary and contract year options at your fingertips, all of which are fully customizable. And with Fantrax Treasury, you can set league fees and safely distribute payouts without a third party, so you don't have to track down owners for payment. Enter the promo code AL, that's Al.
It's for Al Melkia, not American League.
He's a tout.
He's a part of the fraternity.
The Maven from Montana.
There you go.
I like that. He ride a horse to Walmart.
Like Roy Moore. Al, at sign up for a chance to win 10 private consultations with fantasy baseball
host
Al Melchior, valued at $109. Find out why Fantrax is the home of fantasy sports. Check out Fantrax.com.
I'm not BSing y'all. Al Melchior is a horse owner.
And
I'm sure he is.
That's not why he's laughing.
Oh, okay.
He's laughing at my joke. you didn't hear.
Well, what did you say?
Yeah, I don't think Al Monroe wants to be associated.
I'm not going to repeat my joke.
Oh, okay.
You missed it. It's over, man.
Yeah, no, but I was just in full disclosure. He on a horse, and he ride the horse to Walmart. I don't know if he carry a pistol, though. I heard everybody in Montana carry
a
pistol.
I'd be carrying a pistol in Montana.
Yeah.
You said you'd be carrying a pistol in Jersey.
Yeah, trust me. I actually want to get one.
You're looking into it.
I'm looking into it.
All right.
Hopefully my background check works out well.
Yeah. Background check.
You don't need one of those. They got a gun show. You just go into the parking lot and get it out the trunk of somebody's car.
Go to the next to the weed trucks. They have the gun trucks.
Yeah, exactly. I can't believe those weed trucks is crazy. I'm like, y'all, this is like legal, right? Interesting.
All right. So
what are we doing? What we got here?
I have a lot of stuff that we can do. I wanted to talk. You mentioned Adam Eaton before.
All right. I'm surprised that's what you went with, but okay. What's up with Adam Eaton?
You mentioned Adam Eaton before. I wanted to know, not about Adam Eaton so much, but a couple other Nationals that piqued my interest. And it's a guy who replaced Adam Eaton last year, Matt, Michael Taylor. So Michael Taylor started in the outfield for Adam Eaton most of the year. Had a pretty nice year.
And he had a nice run. He did.
Former top prospect, came in and like underperformed that like first month that he took over. And then when it was all said and done, had a nice year on top of the Nationals lineup. Is Michael Taylor a dude that we need to know in 2018 and Corey needs to know tonight?
I think to start the season, you know, he's a guy, as Corey would say, he's a toolsy guy.
Yeah.
So, look, I don't think his leash is extremely long this year. I don't think the Nationals want to bring up Robles right away anyway. But if in the, you know, after the first couple of months, he's not cutting it for them, you know, this is a team. This is a huge year for the Washington Nationals. I mean,
yeah,
pretty much pushing the chips in and all that. So, somebody late, I got to see where his ADP is currently. But, you know, a later round guy, sure. I mean, especially if you're going to take like a Robles and you want to have the guy, you want to have the placeholder there for now.
Right.
It's not bad. Because the guy has power and speed and he can play defense. He's just got to make contact. He does like to strike out.
So, Michael Taylor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Me and him have a connection. Now, Michael Taylor was, I don't know what year this was, he was the MVP of the, what you call that joint, Arizona Fall League game, the All-Star game.
The
Arizona Fall League All-Star game. The Fall Stars game. He was the MVP of that game. It just so happens I was at that game.
Okay.
I was doing some work for MLB Network Radio.
Yes, sir.
So I went on to the field when they was interviewing Michael Taylor
right,
as the MVP. They hit him with the Gatorade bath.
And you got...
And I got wet. The Gatorade got all over me, too. So that's me and Michael Taylor's connection.
So will you be drafting Michael Taylor?
Why not?
Currently,
we have a connection.
In the 12-team online, he's going at 213.
I get him late.
So, I mean,
and that's after Eugenio Suarez.
Yes, it's after Eugenio Suarez.
But another Nationals...
Who's the Nationals manager now? They've got rid of Dusty, right?
They did.
That was a bad move.
It is. Dave Martinez is their manager now.
All right. Well, shout out to Dave Martinez.
Yeah. Longtime bench coach for Joe Maddon.
Okay. That could work.
Okay.
Now, Michael Taylor goes ahead of?
Sure.
Odubel.
Odubel.
That's your man from last year.
That was my guy from last year. Yeah, I'm not doing that again. Mistake, you know, you gotta minimum mistakes. But the guy you gotta mention when he talks about the Nationals has to be Daniel Murphy, who was in the news a lot yesterday.
What did he do?
He had microfracture knee surgery.
Jesus.
And he was coming back, and like, we said this in January when I first started looking baseball, and we said it yesterday when Corey first started looking at baseball. And that was that with Daniel Murphy, he's not gonna be ready for opening day. It's clear he's not going to be. He had a microfracture surgery on his knee.
And he's, 33 years old now? He's a guy that's always had bad knees and stuff. The thing is, I took him in my first draft in the middle of November. I never took him again. So I just think right now, you can't be drafting him until later on. It's got to be the discount. I mean, I don't know. Maybe around that double digit when the double digit rounds start to hit. I mean, I know my online championship, which is a 12-teamer, that was the eighth round, towards the end of the eighth round. He went last week with Vlad Sedler. But, you know, as good as a hitter as he is, microfracture, 33, a guy with knee problems in the past, you know, it's tough to spend a top 10 pick on him.
It is. As good
top 10 round.
As good as Danny Murphy has been, Corey, for the Washington Nationals, microfracture surgery just scares me off. Like, there's always going to be somebody. I know Matt was given the round where he would feel comfortable taking him and where Vlad took him. But for me, like, there's always going to be somebody where I'm like, you know what? I'd rather have this guy than a microfractured Danny Murphy.
No doubt about it. You know what I'm saying? So he probably won't be on my team tomorrow. If he does, things got weird.
Yeah, what's kind of weird, like Daniel Murphy's fallen, you know, obviously for legitimate reasons, as we're talking about. And the guy who's starting to climb up that nobody was taking is Jason Kipnis.
Yeah.
He's hitting home runs like every day.
Yeah, Jason Kipnis is having a really nice spring, hitting home runs a bunch. The problem is, he's not really locked in anywhere. Like, they could move Jose Ramirez to second base, they could play Kipnis in the outfield, and you're like, what are they doing with Jason Kipnis?
See, I think the thing to me that's intriguing, I think he's going to get the chance to prove himself with the team. He's been on this club for a long time. They didn't trade him. There was talks about the Mets and him earlier in the winter. The one interesting thing I'm keeping an eye on is Francisco Mejia, who is a prospect that the kid can rake. He was a catcher. Right now, I think he's only utility eligible because when he came up last year, he was a DH. So if he gets, he's caught some games. If he gets catcher eligibility,
yep,
he's a guy that can really help you there. So now there was talk about making him a third baseman and putting Ramirez at second.
Correct.
But I don't think that's – I think, you know, as long as Kipnis is hitting, he's going to get the opportunity there. And I would love to see Mejia get the catcher eligibility.
Would you rather have Jason Kipnis or Ian Kinsler?
Oh, Ian Kinsler right now.
Ian Kinsler.
Look, what Kipnis is doing right now is great, but mm-hmm. it's also spring training. It's out in Arizona and stuff like that. So I'm going to be a little hesitant. You want to see this from a player like that, a veteran who's, you know, trying to come back, you know, the injuries and all that. But for me, Ian Kinsler just has to stay healthy. If he just stays healthy, he's going to score 100 runs. He'll probably steal, you know, 15 bases or so, at least 12. I'll put it at 12. I'll cap it, you know, high teens. And he's still got pop in his bat. The thing is, he's batting in front of Mike Trout. That is such an enviable position to be in baseball and to own him in fantasy. And he's probably going in, say, a 15-team league. He's going in the 12th round or right around there, you know, maybe around early or around late here or there. So, you know, you got to look at the construction. Like, that's another reason why Justin Upton. I can understand for head-to-head, you know, you have, you know, points. You have trepidations about him.
Right.
But in Roto, he's
numbers
he's
are there just, every year.
Yeah, and he's, you know, going to be behind Mike Trout, which is another enviable position. So that's you have to look at certain players, where they're at, who they're hitting in front of,
yeah,
behind.
Yeah, and it's why Ian Kinsler so popular. Are you an ageist, Corey?
No. Okay. I don't believe in that.
Because I was talking to Frank, who's like all in on Ian Kinsler. We were talking about it this morning. He has him on like three of his teams.
And yeah.
I have him on like every team, to be honest.
Yeah.
With. He's just there, and it's like, you know what?
I get it. He gets him in like the 11th round. Ian Kinsler's 35 years old. He'll be 36 in June.
Oh, Ian Kinsler getting up there.
Yeah.
But this Angels, Daniels put a nice little team together this winter. It looked like their future looked bleak outside of Trout not too long ago.
Sure.
And, I mean, there's just so many question marks with the pitching, but they have some nice arms, but still a lot of question marks are there.
Do we not, like, I know he hit 20 home runs last year, had 14 stolen bases. We don't care that he batted .236.
I think if you do the deep dive, you see he was a bit unlucky. He should bounce back. The skill set is there. Look, I'm not saying he's batting .280. If he can bat .250,
yeah,
score 100 runs, hit 20 homers, steal you 12 to 15 bases.
Not unreasonable.
That's pretty good. I'd rather have that than a Henio Suarez.
Yeah. Before we hit the break, Corey, I did want to ask you, completely unrelated to this, so I thought you'd be interested. Did you see Shabazz Napier break ankles last night?
Nah, he did.
Oh.
Shabazz Napier?
Oh, yeah.
Lakeshore lost last night, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
They were on some run.
They certainly were. Yeah, due to lose, probably.
Who beat him, though? Portland Trailblazers,
the
run.
The hottest team in the NBA. Hottest team in the NBA right
did
there.
Did he hit him with the sham guard, or was it just like... This was last night, right?
This is last night.
Darn it. Where can I find this at?
Probably like ESPN.
NBA.
The world. Like YouTube. NBA Twitter.
Well, I don't think they could post on YouTube.
I wouldn't say somebody will post.
You know, speaking of breaking ankles, that game the other night with Houston and Boston.
You know when James Harden did it?
No. Houston and Boston. Kyrie Irving on the baseline.
Sure.
And he hit the shot and the foul. You CJ McCollum, the defense was excellent, but Kyrie is just too much.
It's from Boston, Portland.
Was it the Boston Portland?
Well, you said
CJ McCollum. Yeah. My bad. I know it was Eric Gordon. I get those two mixed up for some odd reason.
Okay.
I don't know why.
There you go. All right. So that was some NBA news there for you. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. We got a couple more minutes left in this hour. Jake will join us for hour number two. Got some football stuff to get to. Whole lot more baseball as well. It'll be a fun hour. And then, of course, OT as Corey is prepared for Tout Wars 2018. Let me take a little question and answer Q&A with Corey at some point today. That could be fun. All right, stick around. More from...
My life's an open book.
No, it is not. FST on FNTSY.
You're right, it's not. Some things are awfully here.
How's it going in there?
5 more minutes.
Okay, let's play a game. 2 truths, 1 lie. We're not going to be late to the party. In the time you've taken to get ready, you could have been on your way to saving a life. And I'm wearing that tie you hate.
We're not going to be late. We're 10 minutes away. You wouldn't dare wear that tie. And I can't save a life. I'm not a firefighter.
Actually, I swabbed my cheeks last week.
It takes less than a minute to get your cheek swabs. Register at DKMS.org and you can be a superhero by helping someone out.
Back with you on FST on FNTSY. The Texans just released a statement, Corey. I want to get your thoughts on it. They said...
This is not a bottom of the hour conversation, but okay.
Okay.
I mean, I just think we could have devoted more time and I would have liked to get Matt's opinion on it.
Well, we can get Jake's opinion on it also. I thought I'd just introduce
you. Oh, yeah. I forgot the All-In Kid is rocking with us now.
Yeah, so...
All right, so what we got?
Why don't you just give you the statement from the Houston Texans first?
All right.
A recent report that suggested that the Houston Texans would not sign a player who has protested in support of social justice issues is categorically false.
Really?
And without merit. The Texans ownership, coaching, personnel, and executive staff sign and hire employees based on talent, character, and fit within the organization.
Okay.
That's it.
So that's the Houston Texans stance on it. They're saying, we heard the reports that said that they wouldn't engage with that type would engage with an athlete who protested against the national anthem. So now they're refuting that statement, but I think
it's interesting. They're refuting that statement, but they're also like not. Let me read it again. Right?
Reread it.
A recent report that suggests the Houston Texans would not sign a player who has protested in support of social justice issues is categorically false without merit. Okay, so that's where the denial comes in, right?
Yeah.
Here's the next line. The Texans' ownership,
Bob McNair,
mm-hmm, coaching, personnel, and executive staff, right, mm-hmm, everybody else, sign and hire employees based on talent, got it, character, sure, mm-hmm, and fit within our organization.
Fit.
If our organization believes that you need to stand the national anthem, then you're not a fit.
Yeah.
Very simple. Very simple.
He's got players on his team that disagree with him, but they're getting paid by him.
I guess don't you want to see what Bob McNair would do if Deshaun Watson just takes a knee? Like, what are you going to do?
He's not going to do nothing. He's not going to do nothing.
Correct.
He's going to be upset about it, but he's not going to say, come off the field, son. Deshaun Watson, he's not going to do that.
What do you do if DeAndre Hopkins takes an A?
DeAndre Hopkins left practice, remember?
Oh, yeah. Bill O'Brien begged him to come back.
DeAndre Hopkins left practice.
Bill O'Brien's like, please.
And then Dwayne Brown was so disgusted, they had to move Dwayne Brown. Hopkins left practice. So, Deonta Foreman left practice, but
that's
Deonta
right.
Foreman was like...
And then he was suspended, right?
He's a rookie. He's not DeAndre Hopkins. You feel what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And I heard D-Hop talking about it on the Arian Foster joint, and D-Hop was like, it was not really the situation how we get down, but it is what it is. That specific instance, they felt like they was wrong, whatever, but D-Hop would beat him.
Yeah.
ACC players always more likely... to take a stand. SEC players are...
Why do you say that?
Huh?
Why do you say
SEC
that?
SEC players are... SEC players always tend to be more intimidated by stuff like this.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
That area that down in there, football country, that is do what you're told at neighborhood area. And they tend to fall into that.
A lot of the ACC guys I think you're referring to, though, do come from Florida.
yeah, this is true too. But they have it's a little bit the talent level is different, and they also are talking about the fact that I don't know. This maybe it's the ACC schools. Those SEC schools, they don't play Jack. They still got some of that stuff in them.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. So that came out yesterday, the Bob McNair stuff. And then today, Stephen Ross said all the players on his team will stand at the national anthem starting next season. Quote, all our players will be standing, which is interesting because Kenny Stills, Michael Thomas, and Julius Thomas knelt regularly during the 2017 season. Of course, Michael Thomas is a free agent. Julius Thomas is going to be cut. Kenny Stills is the only one of those three that will be back with the Dolphins.
Yeah, so that's interesting to see how this will play out. I do have a take on this. But what I will say about the Miami Dolphins and Stephen Ross, he needs to make sure he hire coaches that don't do cocaine to impress strippers. How about that?
With that, we take a break. We'll get Jake Seeley and Matt Modica's thoughts on the other side of this. We have a lot more tout wars to come, as well as Corey goes for year number two and a championship. We'll talk about that and, of course, more football. That is on in the next hour. On Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Hour number two of the Fantasy Sports Radio Network's Fantasy Sports Today is live on the Fantasy Sports Network. And with hour number two, we bring in the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. And with Jake, you got to remember that every season there are thousands of players just like you. Go to rotoexperts.com to help us make their season a winning season. Talk strategy in a premium Roto Experts Slack channel and get that one-on-one feeling with our award-winning experts. Jake, will you answer Slack requests?
I don't have a specific hour, but I check in there.
Okay, so if people be like, at All In Kid, who do I draft? You'd respond.
Sure.
Slack channel's like a message board.
Right.
What is this?
So Slack channel's Slack. like a group text message.
I'm not going to guarantee a response in 24 hours, though.
Wow, that's kind of... All right. Dominate your draft with the most accurate fantasy baseball rankings. I appreciate the honesty. Led by the Jake, the All-In Kid Seeley, Scott the King Angle. You get a draft package, cheat sheet generator, player projections, and much, much more. And Jake Seeley will respond within 24 hours. Weird.
No, I won't.
That's not what the copy says.
I'm not going to guarantee. I check, you, Jake.
Well, because the only thing I'm saying is I check in daily. So if I happen to check in at, you know, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you happen to get me right at 3 and the next day I'm not able to check until like 7 o'clock at night, you know, I didn't get to you in 24 hours.
Interesting. That's not all. We're giving you 20% off DailyRoto.com also. That's actually very nice. I didn't know that. And the DFS products powered by Millionaire Maker, my man Drew Dinkmeyer. Go to rotoexperts.com/MLB18 today and save 10% off with a promo code FNTSY. Very cool. 20% off Daily Roto and 10% off the Roto Experts exclusive edge package featuring the rankings of one all-in kid, Jake Seeley. Jake, what's going on?
Apparently more than I thought was going on. 24 hours, apparently.
Well, I'd say Scott answers within 24 hours.
Actually, none of that's actually in the copy. I made that up.
Good.
Jacob's sitting up there like, you know what?
Jacob's just like,
I'm going to talk to somebody about
this. I'm going to send out a message the second we go to commercial. No, that's not in the copy. Jake, did you check out The Bachelor last night? Did you read about this?
No.
All right. You should go on The Bachelor, though. We all agreed with that. You'd be a very good Bachelor.
I don't think I would be.
Really?
I wouldn't be entertaining. Oh. I don't screw around.
You don't have supposed to. You're only allowed to go to the fantasy suite with the last two or three people. You don't have to.
What? What's the purpose of going on the show if you can only go to the fantasy suite one or two times?
But you can do whatever you want. You can do something elsewhere.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. So on their watch, you can only...
Correct.
Okay,
exactly.
Okay.
They don't, like, stop you.
Yeah. Just like, I go get a room. You can have your fantasy room. I go get my own room, Jack.
That's
deflowered.
Huh? Is it like the champagne room? Do you remember, like, Chris Rock?
There's no sex in the champagne room. I'm quite sure the fantasy room it probably goes down. Studio 34 should be called a fantasy room.
Studio 34 is a nice ring to it, though.
Yeah, you're right.
All right.
Yeah. So I would love to, but I wouldn't be entertaining.
I disagree, man. I mean, you're more entertaining than Ari. I'll tell you that much.
You could win the hearts of Middle America.
No, that's the thing. I would be looked at as like an ornery jerk.
It's better than Ari. All right, when we come back, I want to get your thoughts on what Stephen Ross said, and then we'll hit some baseball as we get to the bottom of the hour. Stick around. FST, FNTSY.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Diamonds are forever.
All right, let's get into this conversation here a little bit more. I gave you what Bob McNair, the Texans, said earlier. Report from Stephen Ross and the Dolphins. Initially, I totally supported the players and what they were doing, Ross said. It's America, and people should be able to really speak about their choices. But Ross told the newspaper he came to the standing decision because he felt the message being sent by kneeling players was unpatriotic and anti-military. When the message changed and everybody was interpreting it as that was the reason, then I was against kneeling. I like Donald, as in President Trump. I like Donald. I don't support everything that he says. Overall, I think he was trying to make a point, and his message became what kneeling was all about. From that standpoint, that is the way the public is interpreting it, so I think that's really incumbent upon us to adopt it. That's how I think the country now is interpreting the issue.
Yeah, well, they took it and ran with it and took it in the wrong direction, all the way down to something that wasn't meant to be, and that's why I've said, to the dismay of the culture, a lot of people came at me like, oh, I can't believe you feel this way about it. Just go ahead and make everybody stand up. Mm-hmm. Just go ahead and make everybody stand up. Because this thing went to something that it shouldn't have gone to. It's becoming much to do about nothing. I think the people saying that it's unpatriotic and against the military, I don't think that's the real reasons behind saying it, to be honest, most of the people. You feel what I'm saying? I don't think that's the real reason behind it. They're using it for something else. I think the real reason behind it is we don't care what's going on in your neighborhood. Don't bring it to us because we don't want to talk or hear about it and see about it. They're taking it that way. And I'm like, you know what? Let's just get back to football, make everybody stand up, and hopefully this problem will go away. But people that are against this are going to be on the wrong side of history.
You know what's really interesting?
I do hate that line, the wrong side of history. I heard that John so Carlos. Many times for over the last, you know,
yeah.
Decade.
John, I was talking with somebody last night about John Carlos. I see how people cannot despise Colin Kaepernick but like John Carlos. That's how you get on the wrong side of history. Because John Carlos and Colin Kaepernick, it's the same thing. John Carlos was a huge stage. That's the Olympics, you know what I'm saying? And that was done with sole purpose to raise awareness. People say John Carlos is a legend and Colin Kaepernick is not. So I'm like, that's why I say, Matt, it's the wrong side of history.
I'm going to disagree.
And okay, he's gonna disagree and leave it alone.
Look, it's to me, it's the flag, it's our anthem. You know, if you want to do stuff, that's fine. I believe the owners gave like $100 million towards their cause, and however they want to use it. So it's not like the owners aren't doing anything. You know, because I know they're gonna get slammed. I'm not trying to stick up for the owners, but I'm saying something did come out of this. And in the NBA, there is a protocol that is followed. And this is a business. It's like if you go work in an office, there's a dress code, say. There's certain things you have to do. You know, maybe you don't like some of the things, but if you want to continue to work there. And look, if you're on a team and your owner comes out and says you have to stand for it and you don't want to, look, maybe you're not a free agent, so you can't say I'm just going to free agency. But you can pretty much kind of force a trade. Say, I don't want to be here. Make it uncomfortable for everybody.
With Dwayne Brown did.
And you will get traded. So, you know, there's ways of moving on, but I think for the league as a whole, they don't want this over their heads again next year. I don't think it's good just for football. I want to watch football. I don't want to worry about, I want to be entertained by the game, and that's what I want to turn around.
And that's why I say, let make everybody stand up and let's just get back to football.
I will say this, Ben Sasse had a really smart tweet.
Who is this?
The senator from Nebraska. He said, literally, when Trump started tweeting about this, he's like, I understand what the players are trying to do, what they're trying to accomplish. By doing it, it's going, their message is going to get screwed up, and they're not going to come out looking how they want to. And yeah. I think that's what happened. That's
but look, I think they did get something out of it, too. Look, people, this became an issue. They got, say, circa $100 million to use for their courses, how they see fit. So they're getting money out of this to help out certain areas. And it's, you know what? It's on them now to go into the community, to go raise the awareness and do the stuff there. You know, you don't have to do it on Sunday every Sunday. You can do it, you know, during the off season and on your day off on Tuesday.
Jake, any thoughts?
Yeah. Honestly, I do, but I think it's the fact that this has turned into something that's combining conversations here. Now, I think we have to parse it out, honestly. I think from step one, when it comes to kneeling during the anthem, I think we're all free to have our opinions. I wouldn't do it as a respect for the flag the same way that I wouldn't decline a presidential invite to go to the White House, no matter who the president was, no matter if it's been a president in the past that I've disagreed with or a president that I disagree with now or one that I agree with. It's respect for the position, and that's where I come from. You're free, the great part about America is you feel free to disagree with me. That's what's great about America. I see it as a respect thing. Other people don't. So that's where I come from, one on that. The second part of it is I understand what Corey's saying, but I think making it a mandate is a mistake. I think that's the road we're going to go down that we just went down last year. And the best way to get rid of it is just to stop talking about it and stop making it a mandate. Because as soon as you make it a mandate, the first person who kneels, it doesn't matter if it's some scrub 55th person on the roster, the camera's going to shoot to him. And that's the problem that we had last year. Stop giving them the attention if you want it to go away. If you want this problem to go away, stop highlighting the 5%, the 3%, the 2% of people that are actually kneeling during the anthem. And we won't be talking about it because nobody will know except for the people at the game. And the people at the game probably can't even see that well to see that the person's kneeling anyway. So let it go away on its own. And it'll go away. Make it a mandate, you're always going to run into opposition. So that's the second part of it. And the third part of it is just the fact that, you know, what we got going forward, what we got with this, with the Houston Texans and all that stuff, it's right to do your business however you want to do it. We've had this discussion in the past, too. If our company wants to show up every single day in a white shirt and a blue tie and a brown sports coat, and that was our job and we had to wear that or else we're fired, that's their right. They're a company. Yep. They can run their company however they want to run their company. That being said, I think it's very ignorant to not look at potential talent that can help your company and help your team because of something that you disagree with, which goes back to number one. It's America. We can all have different opinions and some find a common ground. Stop. It doesn't always have to be I'm way over here and you're way over there and let's butt heads the entire time.
I think Jake makes a lot of good points there. And we've all kind of said, all four of us have kind of said it. Listen, your employee says something, you don't want to work there. All right,
exactly.
Go work there.
You can't do it. Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to sign with the Dolphins? Don't sign with the Dolphins.
Don't sign with the Dolphins.
That's your right to not sign with the Dolphins.
And I think the owner
has a right to do his thing.
Owner has a right to do it, and the owner probably just wants it to go away.
But you know what? But Jake's right. If he wants it to go away,
leave it alone.
Don't say anything.
The thing is, I'll give them credit on this. At least they're coming out saying that. So if you're a free agent and you don't want to have to deal with that,
don't sign with
you
them.
Want to take a knee, or you want to do whatever you want to do, you know now. This is not the place for me.
Right.
So on that aspect, I'll give it to them. Look, people can do whatever they want to do. Freedom of speech, all that, how you want to. You can do whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe in that. I just won't do it. I won't, you know, disrespect the flag.
And that's, you know, certainly everybody's take on how you want to handle it, basically.
Yeah.
You know, and I think everyone had a really smart take on that. So I think that's cool. From that, I think we have to go to another really important topic, and that's the Arizona Diamondbacks bringing back the bullpen cart.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's what's up. I wish they had one of them joints to bring me from the fourth floor up here.
We do have an elevator.
Yeah, but they don't want us riding the elevator.
Who said they don't want us riding the elevator?
I want one of the chairs.
Wait, who said we can't ride the elevator?
You're not supposed to ride the elevator from the fourth to the fifth floor.
Says who?
That was a memo that came out about this.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not get the memo.
I'm surprised.
One floor?
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
I don't do it. I walk. I'm just saying.
I guess I'm glad I'm off that email.
If you want to take the elevator.
It ties up the elevator. It's like a Rock and Raleigh's.
It's going to make me more interested in riding the elevator now.
Yeah, you're not supposed to ride the elevator from the fourth to the fifth floor.
If any,
I'd rather not ride the elevator.
We don't. We usually walk the stairs. I'm just saying.
No, I'm just saying. I'm one of those people that you're never going to get stuck is on the stairs. I'm one of those people that, like, if it's a couple floors, I'll just take the stairs.
What do you think about the bullpen cart, though, Jake? It's back in Arizona.
Yeah, I guess it's a thing for some people. For me, I kind of more interested to see the guys come out to their music and if they're going to come charging on the field or how they come out and stuff like that.
They did say they're going to force players to use the bullpen cart. Like, Archie Bradley wants to, like, run out to his music. Cool. But they're giving him the option.
It brings me back to, like, childhood memories with the bullpen cart. But the thing in Arizona I'm more pissed off about is that it seems like Kettle Marte is going to be the second baseman and Chris Owings is going to be the super utility guy.
Oh, boy.
I'm kind of furious about that.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. I did think, by the way, that Chris Owings would have been the major man affected by the humidor.
Really?
Yeah.
I think he's kind of like, he could be their version of Chris Taylor that the Dodgers have. And
okay, that's cool too.
I think it's a big miss on their part.
That's cool too. When we come back, let's talk some baseball. I do have some football news I want to talk to you about a little bit later on, including Dante Moncrief. Some rumors about him. Corey, I know he's your boy.
Yep.
And there's rumors of him going to the Ravens.
He need to be someplace.
And it's Baltimore the place?
Huh? If he won't catch a whole bunch of 7-yard passes, sure.
The Ravens do need to revamp that whole one.
They need to revamp everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Except for Flacco.
They need to get Flacco off their books. Be honest. They need to get Flacco off their books.
Come on. I think they get out of the contract after this year.
I think so, too.
Flacco, a generational talent.
Let's talk some baseball, guys, when we come back with the All-In Kid as we prep Corey for Tout Wars. Stick around. More on the way, right after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check out Now You Can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone, we promise. No weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
An American is diagnosed with blood cancer. Unfortunately, only 30% of patients are able to find a compatible bone marrow donor within their family. But that's how you can help. Go to dkms.org/FNTSY today and sign up online to register as a donor. DKMS will send you a swab kit, which takes legitimately 1 minute to do. You swab each of your cheeks and send it back to them. That's it. You're done. DKMS will then try and match you up with a person in need of a donation. The process is easy, and best of all, you can actually save someone's life, not metaphorically, but quite literally. Check out dkms.org/FNTSY and see how you can help. All right, let's get into
it. Hey, Matt. Hold on. I got Sammy Watkins.
I was going to say the same thing, Jake. Yep.
Can't wait. Zipper face emoji.
Yeah, I was going to bring up that same thing. Sammy Watkins,
nice.
3 minutes ago, just tweeted can't wait with the mouth shut emoji. So
it seems like Sammy's going to be a free agent alongside Allen Robinson.
Yeah, so you get...
Same.
Yeah, so this is
going to be lead. I was going
to This is well. Better money. This money is better spent on... If you're in the free agent market for a wide receiver... You want Watkins and Robinson, Jarvis Montgomery.
You want Watkins and Robinson. Oh, okay. I thought you said, would you rather have Robinson or Watkins?
I'd rather have Watkins.
I'll take Allen Robinson.
You
say not even a question. Who do you think?
Allen Robinson.
Okay.
Not even close in my opinion.
How's it not close, Jake? Look at the skill set.
Exactly. Look at the skill set. It's Allen Robinson. If you want to talk about the on-field production, now we have a conversation because you have injuries versus poor playing positions or situations for both of them. But if you're talking about pure skill set, it's Allen Robinson.
I don't see that. I think Sammy Watkins is talent wise. I think Sammy Watkins is a better player.
Yeah, you've been wrong before.
Well, here's the thing with Jarvis Landry. Depends what team he's going.
Yeah.
On the right team, I think he's an excellent fit. You know, on a team that's, you know, middling, going nowhere, no, that's not the place. But he's a piece that could put a team over the top and help an outside guy, you know, free that up too as well. So in the right situation, I think
the Bears.
Jarvis Landry is a tremendous... I mean, the Bears at some point have to get this guy some help, right? They spent the number two pick.
Sure.
I mean,
I told you what I think would be great for the Bears. I actually think if they trade for Landry and then sign Terrell Pryor, that's actually terrific for them.
That'd be cool.
Look, from what they had.
No, but I mean, so the thing is, you need Landry. You need that middle of the field guy that, you know, they're looking for somebody that can be that volume receiver. And then Terrell Pryor can go back to freelancing like he was with the Browns and not ask to be the precision route runner, precision, you know, timing receiver that the Redskins wanted him to be. And he couldn't be. You let him freelance with Jarvis Landry. And I think you have the makings of something special with Trubisky at quarterback.
Speaking of the Redskins, Allen Robinson could be a target for them in free agency.
I would like that.
Allen Robinson to Washington. You've also heard Paul Richardson's name mentioned to Washington, gentlemen.
He's going to be the backup plan for everybody. Once Landry being traded, once the other two, Watkins or Robinson, are off the board, Richardson's going to be in that conversation as the backup fallback plan.
What about Dante Moncrief, who we talked about earlier, potentially going to Baltimore?
I think it makes sense. Baltimore, like, look, how many years in a row have we been saying the Baltimore need to figure out what's going on at wide receiver?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know that. I actually think, look, Moncrief has talent. Moncrief benefited from playing with Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton on the other side at the time, too. I'm not discounting too much from what Moncrief can do. But that being said, he has his own injuries. He has his own question marks. What I'm saying in this situation is I don't understand what the Ravens are thinking with Moncrief. Like, you've done this already. You have injured wide receivers. You have problems. Like, I think Moncrief is just going back to what you've been doing for the past. Like, it's the insanity thing. Stop doing things, just keep doing the same thing, expecting different results. If it's Watkins, you know, Watkins has been healthy for a while now. I think that makes sense. I think that would make more sense than Moncrief.
See, I think here is, I'm curious. I'm curious to see who's gonna be going after these guys. I'm trying to find the right spot for like Allen Robinson and where
San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, I guess San Francisco, everybody's going to put Jimmy G and San Francisco, which is the place. But see, like, a team like the Chargers, if they didn't spend that first-round pick last year on Mike Williams, Allen Robinson would be a perfect fit there, I think. Him, you know, you have two different types of receivers there. Phillip Rivers is still going to be around for the next couple of years. But such is life.
Yeah, such is life, indeed.
The Chicago Bears... they have to get a wide receiver. I think they need an outside wide receiver, not a dude in the slot. It's a lot of money to pay for a slot wide receiver, $16 million. I think they got bigger problems. But I do feel as if the team as a whole need to do something with their wide receiver core. So they need to be in the market. But I don't want to see Sammy Watkins go to Chicago. No, I want to see him go a place that they got a good quarterback so he can get on the outside, somebody that can get him the football. And if he plays 16, I'm telling you, you're going to see a season where you can be like, oh, Sammy Watkins is MF and beast.
But see, the thing is, they invested so much in this quarterback where, like, I agree with Jake. If like, you get somebody like a Pryor and say Meredith comes back and you have these outside weapons now, you know, this Charles quarterback Land, needs to progress. They really, you know, they need to start making moves.
They make a huge step forward. If that was your wide receiver core next year, Pryor, Meredith, and Landry, and then they figure out whatever they're doing at running back because you got Nagy and the whole, you know, whether or not Jordan Howard fits, and it's not going to be Cohen the entire time. You know, they'll figure out the running back position if they really are going to trade Jordan Howard. But you have that there with Shaheen at tight end. I'm telling you, you have the makings of a very nice offense.
Yeah, no, and that defense, I don't think is, you know, it played well at home and stuff, but I don't think it's vastly improved. So, yeah, you're going to have to put a point against Aaron Rodgers in your division. Yeah. If, say, Kirk Cousins goes to the Vikings, they're going to score a ton of points.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins.
And they're drafting early enough. I was going to say, if they get Tremaine Edwards in the draft, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a huge boost to their defense. But, sorry, Greg, go ahead.
I was just saying, it's just very interesting because Matt mentions Kirk Cousins and, like, he's down to two teams. No, he's down to four teams. Just kidding. He's down to 18 teams. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just he's trying to maximize his return.
Yeah, no, you got to give the guy, look, he deserves it. What he's gone through the last couple of years.
This down to two teams, down to four teams, nonsense.
Well, that's just,
ridiculous.
You know,
stupid.
People.
Yeah.
A lot of that's making just stories, trying to get.
It's a dead time in sports, yeah. So they're making stories
Bait
right
click.
There. So
no, but I would do what he's doing too. Yeah. I would definitely say Larry Fitzgerald's a great recruiter. Of course, I'm going
to
say that.
I would go to every city possible. Every city, yep. Just to drive my price up.
Sure.
Have people take me out.
Of course.
You know what? While I'm visiting the Jets, I'd stop by the Giants just to create more rumors. I mean, you're trying to maximize your return.
Absolutely.
No doubt. Go see what they talk
like
about.
Eli's old. He's done.
Go slap hands with Eli.
Giants don't have money for Kirk Cousins.
No, they need. They got that.
I'm taking shots at Eli here.
Other issues, too. So, Roger Goodell.
Running the 40?
Running the 40.
In the office.
I wish I was there.
Trip him?
I'd have tripped him. Bam!
Saw that one coming.
That's what you get.
That was predictable.
I think what the owners did with Goodell is one of the greatest, like, they're like the men behind the curtain.
Oh, yeah.
With Goodell.
And puppeteers. Puppeteers.
The hatred for this guy who is basically just doing their bidding. It's the perfect PR stuff.
He's just the front man.
Yeah.
Right, it worked out perfectly for them.
And
this is why they gave him a raise. Makes sense.
$50 million, you could hate me all you
Yeah, want. Of course. I'm the most hated guy ever.
I'm on my free jet, with my free out there.
Absolutely. Great. Hate me all you want. And he has like life insurance, health insurance for life for his children.
He's a crook.
People gave him crap for all the things he was asking for. When you go into a negotiation, you ask for everything. You don't go in if you want $100,000 and say, I want $100,000.
Of course not.
You're not getting $100,000 then.
You ask for $200 and see what happens.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hope to settle on $150.
Ideally. Ideally.
Well, we're going to have some conversations with these people that run this joint.
Let me know how this goes.
Start with the basics.
Before I get into baseball, and I'll do it after the break, I wanted to just bring this up to you, Corey.
This thing right here is freezing my ass off. Just want you to know that,
Corey.
I told you to shut it for now.
No, they want us to keep it on. They want us to leave it on because like the temperature in here needs to be a certain temperature.
Why don't you just try to see with Matt?
We can do that.
Oh, like yeah, right.
Let me go get my coat.
It would actually probably help to trade a season with Matt, keep you more focused.
This is true.
There's no doubt about that.
Ooh, shiny red ball walking by.
Or we just see the
Put
back the of his head
on,
the entire
Greg.
Show.
Huh?
That's hoodie true.
Up.
That's
I know,
true.
Hood up.
There you go.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Corey,
about
what do you think? Turner announced that they're adding basically a red zone for March Madness.
Oh, really? Oh, that's cool. That's going to be a good look so you can... You know, they'll take Love you it. To the key moments and stuff like that. They do an excellent job. The people at Turner and they do a fine job with their broadcasters, live sports.
I'm just shocked it took so long.
Stupid that it took so long. Number one,
there should be a red zone for baseball. There should be a red zone for everything.
I agree.
DirecTV did have something different. I haven't had DirecTV.
Yeah, DirecTV did have something different. But like I also think so DirecTV basically had a red zone channel at one point for March Madness, but it's kind of outdated now, to be honest with you, because of how the games are all staggered time wise. You're not gonna miss anything. Everything's staggered, so there's no game that ends bang, bang. It doesn't happen anymore.
I guess I got to figure out which channel True TV is right now.
That's what
that is.
Well, every time a year,
once a year, you figure out.
246 on DirecTV.
once a year, you figure out what channel True TV is. And
I'm looking
all these
forward
articles
to
come out.
March Madness is going to be a lot of fun. Let's go Tar Heels.
Let's not do that.
What? Since when?
Since what?
He's a turtle.
Corey,
what's
since
up?
When Tar Heels... 3 weeks ago, Matt, he was telling us that Roy Williams needed to be fired.
No, I do think Roy Williams should be fired, but I've always been a Tar Heel fan.
He's a big Tar Heel fan. His sister went to UNC.
Mm-hmm. I go back to Brian Reese.
Oh. Yeah, let's fire the guy that's got the team inside the top.
Roy Williams has been outcoached on several occasions. He really has been. He's not a good in-game coach, Roy Williams.
I totally agree.
Will you be coming in with old turtle garb on?
I have more to say, but we're hitting a break.
We've had this conversation before. I know I agree with that. All right, I want to talk to baseball. Of course, it's Howard's tonight. Let's talk about it when we come back on FST.
Nobody cares.
Hello.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
If you love drafting your fantasy team, imagine drafting a real professional team. The Fan-Controlled Football League is bringing fantasy sports and Madden franchise mode to the real football field. Fans will scout players, draft rosters, hire coaches, call plays, and more. The FCFL will feature eight professional teams playing 7-on-7, fast-paced indoor football and high-tech production studio built for digital audience. This is next generation fantasy football, where fans get rewarded for dominating through the league's proprietary fan token. To learn more about fan token and the FCFL, visit fcfl.io.
Is that the official fantasy exec Snuggie?
This is the fantasy exec Snuggie. Y'all think I'm playing about it being this side of the room is cold. It's cold AF. Now, with that being said, I got my little, I'm ready to talk baseball now. I'm nice and snuggled up. You feel what I'm saying? I'm nice and snuggled up.
You talking to the microphone at least?
Sorry. Nice and snuggled up right now, and I'm ready to talk baseball.
You have any questions?
Hey, Chris Ivory could use that. He's headed back to Buffalo.
Yes, he's going to need it. That's a very good observation.
The Bills don't want to let LeSean Chris go touch that.
No, you're right.
You're not allowed.
When was Chris Ivory in Buffalo?
Yo, I'm not drafting LeSean McCoy in 2018.
Chris Ivory never played for Buffalo, Jake.
No, he's signed. They just announced.
Well, he's going back to Buffalo. I was very confused. Corey, you had 10 worse tonight.
Because he visited at part of the Jets.
That makes sense.
You have any questions for our experts here? Or no?
How many closers should I... Where should I get my first closer? And... How many closers should I come out to draft with?
First round of 15.
Excuse me? I'm about to say what? That's not a good
rules are changing.
That's not good advice.
Well, and this is a trade league as well, right?
You can trade in this league.
I would definitely want to have one like in that end of the sixth, early seventh. I don't know how it's going to go in this league.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about like how it goes in the NFBC. I would usually pay a bit more if I wanted to have that one guy. But this guy's I like Brad Hand. I like Iglesias. I'm trying to think about Felipe Rivero.
Okay.
So that's maybe like sixth round. I'm trying to think where he's going to go.
Yeah. So the problem is Kimbrel and Jansen aren't going to make you back at the end of the third round.
Okay.
If somehow, I will say this, Corey, if I'm the 15th pick and at the end of the third round, somehow Kimbrel and Jansen are there, I'm going Kimbrel Jansen and taking over the league. That I'm forcing the league to adapt to me.
Okay, he'll say you do both of them right there.
What
that's interesting.
I would do at 3-4. It depends. Like I said, I know certain of these industry guys don't like to go pitching early.
Yeah.
So if I went hitter at 15 and 3-4, say a Jansen's or a Kimbrel's there, I take one of them and I take a starter. Like say. Say DeGrom's there, or
is that too early from Bumgarner?
Bumgarner would probably be gone, but
no, he's gonna be
gone. By the time I get on a 3-4 turn, Bumgarner be gone.
Yeah, the 3-4 turn, I'm gonna think in my head, and I'm gonna say
probably
Zach Greinke,
Archer,
Archer.
Yeah, I mean Greinke might be there. I'd say Greinke, Archer,
Darvish,
Carlos Martinez.
Martinez
would
be there
too. I mean, I would go
Verlander.
For me, I would go with the top pitcher and the top. If I went hitter, and there's a pitcher that I really like, a starting pitcher, like one of my guys, say if I have a top 10 guy that's still there, I'll take him there. And if you go with like Jansen or Kimbrel, you can do that.
I'll tell you, if they're both there, I would take both to that point, though, Matt, because I'd rather just take both and just dominate everybody else and whether I'm getting the extra strikeouts and the saves than to take like a Verlander. It's probably not going to happen anyway.
Yeah, we got it's a small bunch.
It's an interesting strategy, what Jake says. I'd rather just get that one ace and get that closer if say one of the two of those guys were there. Just because I'm setting myself
out the first four rounds, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a 15 team league. I mean, look,
Corey, you're playing for first.
Yeah, everybody talks about, and I have a lot of guys that a lot of guys I like later on as far as pitchers go. But you need to have that foundation. You need to have those ratios. I mean, once they start going, once they go south, it's going to be hard to recruit, especially in a 15-team league. And the one caveat is you have the trading aspect here.
Yeah.
But you're going to be giving up, say, your best hitting to get that pitcher and stuff. So you're going to be giving up your best assets. I think my point is if you get at 15, you can get two stud hitters. Uh-huh. So if you get those two stud hitters, if that's the philosophy you go with today, I'm saying, you'll have that foundation there, and then adding, say, the elite closer and a top 10, top 12 pitcher is a nice start.
Speaking of closers a little bit later on, sorry guys, I want to just turn a little bit. Speaking of closers a little bit later on, should Shane Green be getting a little bit more love, Jake?
I don't think so.
Okay.
One, because of the team, and I'll expect a lot of save opportunities, although sometimes maybe when they win games, they're not going to be winning by a lot of runs, so maybe that's the case there that you look at. But I'm just not a huge Shane Green fan either. I don't know that he's necessarily guaranteed to have that job. If I'm looking at closers more in this range, I'd rather, and I know it sounds crazy, but you got to remember, we're talking 50, 60 innings here. We're not talking about the elite closers. So while it could hurt your ratios to get somebody with like a 1-3 whip, I'd rather get the closer I know should keep the job the entire year, like a Hector Neris, who might have a 1-3 whip and hurt me there, but I know he's going to be the closer for the entire season. I'd rather do that than a Shane Green or something like that. When I get that far down in closers, I'd rather get the guy who I think is going to keep the job for the entire year than the one that I'm worried about.
Yeah, when it starts getting to the Shane Green area, I'm usually talking myself into passing and looking at guys who have the best shot of getting a closing job at that point.
Okay. What about in Arizona, guys? Because they came out a couple days ago and said, listen, Torey Luvula said this is a three-man race between Archie Bradley, between Brad Boxberger, and the Japanese closer that they had signed in the offseason. Arana, exactly. Now, Boxberger, I know, has battled some injuries throughout his career, including this spring, and Archie Bradley has proven to be an Andrew Miller type of weapon outside of the ninth inning.
Computer, I'm sorry.
What are you watching? I'm trying to prep you.
I'm reading the story about Roger Goodell and Jerry Jones. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to sit here and prep you, and you're watching Black Panther.
which I still have not seen. Darn it. And I would have went to see it today, but I got Tout Wars tonight.
I'm going to have to listen.
Anyway.
I want to make sure the execs get it done.
Yeah. Speaking, you got my number.
Sitting on the couch on the seat right next door. It's a chicken. Yes, Jake, please.
I actually think that they would prefer if Boxberger took the job, because to your point is I think they do see Bradley as Andrew Miller, as in he has more value for two innings. And I think that's the issue here is like Bradley's definitely got the best look so far. It has the best look, makeup to be the closer situation, similar to Andrew Miller. Andrew Miller is better than if you look at Cody Allen most of the time. And he's definitely been better 2 years ago by far. But the problem is he's more valuable because you can use him for two innings. So I think they want Bradley in the Andrew Miller role, and they would prefer if Boxberger or possibly the other guy could possibly win this job. I think if you're taking the odds right now, I'd rather just take Archie Bradley, because if he does get the job, he's going to have tremendous value as a top 12 closer with his ability. If you have the worst case scenario, you end up with Andrew Miller. By the way, people need to realize this. Andrew Miller, just at closers, even when you factor in saves and not having saves, he still finishes around 15th for closer every single year.
Yeah, no, I mean, Bradley should be the guy that's a 7th, 8th inning guy.
Okay.
As Jake said it, and we see it with Andrew Miller, we're starting to see, we saw Davinsky, a guy, the value he had. Josh Hader is looking like one of these guys if he doesn't get into the rotation. And I think Bradley kind of wanted to either close or a shot at the rotation. And I know that the upper management was discussing what to do with him. But the fact that they have Boxberger and they got this guy Hirano from Japan he's older now, like maybe 33 or something like that. But he has closing experience. He was like one of the top closers in Japan. I think it sets the team up better that way. And that's the way that baseball is going.
Yeah, I agree with that. We've seen that in the playoffs the last few years with guys going multiple innings. The Andrew Miller effect, I guess. I think we should probably call it. Speaking of some pitchers that have made some news, a guy that I know, Matt, you and I have talked about, and you talked about it on the Road Rushers podcast, Scott, Jake, with Scott. That's Mike Clevinger being guaranteed a rotation spot now with Cleveland. I'm a Mike Clevinger guy. I said that last year. I'm very happy to see
it. It should have never been like, you know, Josh Tomlin. It should have never been a roadblock. And now that Danny Salazar,
your boy,
is going to start on the DL, which I'm still going to buy in an auction. If I can get him for a couple of bucks, I'll take that upside all day. But for Clevinger, the main thing for him is the control. We saw in those final seven starts, the first pitch strike was surprisingly around 70%. And that's been the issue. Because you look at the swinging strike rate that he has, or the strikeout percentage, and it's up there. But you also look at the walk percentage, and that's pretty damn high. I think he's like one of the top six, you know, which isn't a good thing in the walk percentage. But, you know, as with the Indians, they're a team that preaches, they throw like the least amount of fastballs per staff. So this is something, and that's the one pitch that if they believe he had a negative pitch, what do you call? I'm thinking of the term, but you understand what I'm saying. So he has the tools, and I just never saw him not getting into this rotation. Now, you know, people have been on him. Now you're going to see him move up, that it's been confirmed.
Jakey?
Yeah, look, the fact is, this Clevinger, I agree with Matt, should have never been a conversation. It should have been his job from day one. This just only cements the fact that he's there now. You like the strikeout over one per batter or one per inning, and that's the appeal here. Everything Matt said is 100%. I don't really have much to add to that. The only thing with Salazar is I got to think that I was a little bit cooler than Matt to begin with. You know, we're not always going to agree on every single player. And now it's even further down my draft board. Obviously, you have to have a DL spot in your league if you're going to draft somebody like that to prepare for that to start the league. Or a deep enough bench. Like, you're not going to draft him if you only have a four-man bench with no DL spots. That's just a fact.
Yeah, that's true, too. Man, I'm in Mike Clevinger, though. Strikeouts are real. I'll tell you that much. You can strike people out. I saw it a lot last year. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. OT is on the way. In a few couple more baseball notes with Jake, Matt, and Corey. Take a break. See you in a bit.
Fantasy Sports Today. I'm Gabe Morenci.
It is a very fun show.
Can you bet on The Bachelor?
No, they wouldn't put Gabe on The Bachelor.
No, bet on The Bachelor.
He would. I've got to see Gabe bet on The Bachelor, yeah.
Gabe seems to
be talking about him being The Bachelor.
No.
Gabe seems to be willing to bet on pretty much anything.
You line up two roaches right here. We paint one red. I got the red one. Yeah. Canada. Shout out to Gabe.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Factor, perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single entry contest only. Fantasy Factor runs NHL and NBA free rolls each and every week. The free enter, so sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. All right, guys, a couple quick hit baseball notes before we head off to FST OT. Should more people, Matt Modica, be talking about Tanner Roark this spring?
He's a back of the end guy for me. You know, he's on a very good team. He has shown some flashes in the past, but he's not somebody that, you know, he's a back of the end of the guy for me. He's not a guy that I'm going to be, you know, relying on.
Same question to you, Jake. I know Mike Florio was very high on Tanner Roark this season. What about you?
Nope.
Okay.
ERA over four, a whip over 1.3, and he doesn't even get a strikeout per inning. I could care less.
How about this? Can you buy the bounce back of two pitchers? The first being Andrew Haney. We've kind of waited for him to get healthy, but he's got good stuff. Former top prospect with the Marlins, traded over to the Angels, never really had an opportunity to perform with them. Now, in the opening day rotation, what do you think of Andrew Haney?
I'll take a late round flyer on him. I actually think he profiles similar to Rourke when he talked about ERA and WHIP, but he'll get more strikeouts. Maybe he can improve now that everything's put behind him, as you're talking about here. But I think he's a late round flyer just for the hope that he could do so. I mean, there's been a lot of negative up to this point of his career. It makes you say, I don't know that he's going to get a lot of value and fantasy out of him.
Would you rather take a late round flyer on Andrew Heaney or another injured pitcher coming back here, Matt Harvey?
That actually, at this point, from what we've seen, Harvey.
All right.
I'll go Harvey. I'll go with the
Mets
homer
fans.
One.
You
but here's
Mets
why,
fans.
Too. Here's why, too.
No, no.
With Heaney, it wasn't like, look, last year he pitched like 20 innings or so.
Right.
But he, you know, when, back in 2015, he had like a 6.5 K9. So it wasn't like you were getting a ton of strikeouts with him.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know. He's a guy that, at least Harvey, we've seen some stuff before, and there's like some hope that he could be at least something.
Sure.
And the last thing to come with Harvey is the control. His speed is almost all the way back, and that's the important part. So if he's getting up to 94, 95, like reports are saying, he's just got to start managing that strike zone, which I would say of anything, I'd want that to be the concern with Harvey than arm fatigue or his mile per hour aren't there. Like, I'd rather his control, because he's been around long enough that his control will come back.
All right, what about when it comes to Kenta Maeda? I know you were all over the Dodgers staff last year when it came to Alex Wood and Rich Hill and whatnot. Yeah. What about Kenta Maeda?
I think a lot of people are sleeping on Maeda. Look, this is still a rotation with a lot of injury concern. And look, Kenta Maeda is not like a stud pitcher, but he's a very useful pitcher.
Sure.
And he's put up the good numbers. I have no problem with Kenta Maeda rostering him. I think a lot of people have kind of moved on from him, though.
Yeah,
I think that's the public perception.
100%.
Yeah,
I have him beside my top 40 pitchers.
Wow.
And,
okay.
He never goes there.
Yeah. So you're very into Kenta Maeda then, Jake.
Yeah, and that's with only over like 140, 150 innings.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that his ERA, his strikeouts, and his WHIP are going to be good enough, even if that's all he pitches. Just like last year, he didn't quite get to 140 last year. But even if he only gets 150 this year, the numbers will be good enough that you'll be happy with what you got out of him.
Kenta Maeda better in roto leagues and point leagues for me.
The Dodger pitcher, I mean, I'm excited for is, I really don't have shares in him, but I think I will going forward from here out, is Rich Hill.
I can buy that. Final question here for you, Jake. You talked on OT yesterday about stolen bases. Starling Marte has 4 in spring training already. He's running wild. Is it real?
Yeah. We actually talked about that. I talked about the Scott, too. And Scott brought a point that I said. The guy stole 47 bases. How have people forgotten that already?
His floor is 30 stolen bases, right?
Where should you take Starling Marte?
That's where he's going. You know, third round, fourth round. If he's there, definitely in the fourth round. But, yeah, he's a third round player.
Right.
Everybody wants speed. He's got to deliver.
There you go. FST OT comes your way next. Corey will get ready for Tower Wars. Maybe I'll tell you who he's picking, but he probably doesn't know yet. So, all right, I'll see you guys later.